Welcome to Safety Culture Excellence. This week's topic, rewarding teams or individuals for safety. My name is Sean Galloway, and I'm proud to be your host. Greetings this week from Danville, Pennsylvania, and show number 69. 2 weeks ago, we started a discussion about incentives and rewards for safety. We began with our philosophical view of these approaches to safety, and last week shared our thoughts on what incentives and reward programs are and their differences. For the podcast this week, you'll hear Terry Mathis and I discussing the differences in rewarding teams and individuals for safety. I believe there are positive aspects of both, yet we all know that even with the best intentions, sometimes things can go wrong. So without giving too much away, let's get started.
Well, Terry, in all of our travels, we see a lot of ineffective approaches to rewards and incentives. I think something that we'd like to weigh in on is what is a better approach, rewarding teams or rewarding individuals?
That's a great question, and one that's on the mind of a lot of organizations. I've seen a lot of companies put reward systems, incentive programs together and say, what do we do? How do we reward this? One of the thoughts that's very prevalent out there in the world right now is that if people function as a team, they ought to be rewarded as a team. Now, the thought in and of itself is not invalid, and if you want to foster team activity, rewarding team activity is something that you definitely can do. But I've seen a number of negative side effects from team rewards, and I wanted to talk about those a little bit as we have this discussion also. One of the things to keep in mind, one of the guidelines in all of this, is to avoid internal competition. Anytime you get people competing against each other versus working together, if you're trying to foster teamwork, that's something that you don't want to do. You don't want to say, look, it doesn't matter if the team wins or lose. If you're high point man, you get the reward. What you do by that is you create, first of all, a losing team, and you also create all but one losing individuals. And losing is the opposite of winning, right? You want people to win, you want people to achieve, you want people to accomplish. So what do? Do you punish the losers? It's kind of a negative approach to what you want to do. Let me give you an example from my own personal experience that's very close to me, and really one of the early things that got me thinking about the effectiveness of these. While I was still an employee of another company, the management of our company, which I hadn't climbed up into those ranks yet, was in management, but not in the highest level of management in the company. They came up with an incentive program, and they gave everybody a reward for perfect attendance. Now, I know that's not safety, but think about the parallels here. Whatever it is you want to accomplish, you say, here's what we want to accomplish. If you accomplish it, here's what we'll give you. Now, what they gave us was very symbolic of the company, and it was rather desirable. It wasn't terribly expensive, but you'll find that very often symbolic rewards are even more effective than expensive rewards, and that can be the case. So they got something that basically everybody would like to have, everybody wanted in the company because it was a product of the company. And they said, if you'll do this, we'll give you this. Now, at first, the rewards were individually based. So every individual who accomplished this goal got the reward. And they got it at the end of every month, and it was rather timely, which makes it effective. It was very positive in the way it was delivered, which made it very effective, and it had an impact. And in fact, attendance at work went up, absenteeism went down, tardiness went down at the company, so the overall performance was better. Then they took this very same incentive that they had been doing on an individual basis, and they made it a team incentive. And they said, well, if your whole team has no unexcused absences or tardies or anything, then your whole team will get the reward. Well, at this point, individuals could do what the company wanted them to do and still not get their reward based on the performance of someone else. Now, a lot of organizations, and I hear this talk very often, they'll say, well, Terry, what we really want to encourage is peer pressure. We want to get people pressuring people, and we want it to become culture. We want the culture to work with each other to do this. If you're really talking about peer pressure to be safe, peer pressure to be on time or whatever, how much control does one individual have over another? Now, if you want to reward an intervention, that's one thing. But what if they intervene multiple times and it doesn't impact the performance of the other person? They feel like they're being punished for the failure of a team member. Now, a lot of the managers I've talked to say, well, that's fair, Terry. You know, if you're on a team and you have a really weak player on your team, then the whole team's going to get punished for that. You know what? If you have a really weak player on the team, you tend to take a look at the coach and say, why are you putting this player on the team? You know, and that's what workers tend to do with managers also. If the managers say, well, this guy's perpetually late, this guy's perpetually unsafe, you folks take care of it. The workers tend to look at that and say, you're the boss, you take care of that problem. I'm doing what you ask me to do, and I'm being penalized for your selection of a poor player on my team.
Plus, it also leads to under-reporting.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, how much pressure is there on the person who has the accident when they're going to lose the reward for the whole team? You know, not just for themselves. So, back to the overall question. Do you reward individuals or do you reward teams? Well, when I was an individual and this reward was being given individually, I won it every month because I had perfect attendance. I was never late. I was never away without excuse in the performance. Once it became a team reward, I got this reward about 3 times a year. My performance was exactly the same and my reward was reduced by 75%. I viewed that, as did a lot of other employees, as a punishment. I viewed it as it doesn't matter what your performance is, as long as your team's performance isn't stellar, you don't get the reward. Well, somebody walked in one day and asked me what they wanted to do with my little reward, which I had won for my third time out of 12 months. And I told them, basically, you don't want to know what I want you to do with that. You know, I developed a bad attitude about the reward. Now, the reward was a good reward, and it was absolutely, totally, 100% free to me. But when I found that there was a disconnect between my performance and the reward, I quit viewing the reward as a reward. I quit viewing it as favorable. I started viewing it as something that somebody else's performance could lose for me, somebody else's performance over whom I had very, very little control. So that's one of the negatives that can happen with team rewards. So what's the alternative? Or how do you broach this? Do you go strictly with individual rewards? How do you foster teamwork? And what I would recommend is that you ought to consider a combination of the two. You ought to consider that every individual who meets certain criteria gets a certain reward for meeting that criteria, and if the team overall wins or accomplishes goals or reaches milestones, then maybe there is a team celebration or a team party or a team recognition for what's being accomplished. You know, this is the best of both worlds. And what you're really looking for is you want your individuals to excel. But you also want them to work together as a team. So what do? You reward individual excellence, but you also reward team goals. And what happens with this? Nobody is penalized in a system like this. It's all strictly positive. It's all strictly an incentive. Now, if you lose the team goal, but you got your individual goal, well, then it tends to be the kind of peer pressure that's positive for everybody, because and the negative that Sean was talking about earlier, what if somebody does get injured or somebody does do something in safety that's going to lose it for the whole team? They don't feel this fabulous pressure because they're going to lose it for the whole team, because they know all the other individuals who met the goal still get their individual reward. And the team goal is the lesser of the two. The individual reward is the greater, the team goal is the lesser. In fact, the team goal is not really so much a reward or an incentive as it is a celebration of team success. So this is kind of the best of both worlds approach.
And that's just it, best of both worlds. One of the themes throughout
probably all of our podcasts is customization, customization, customization. Just like you said for the site, it's a combination of both. The sites that, or the organizations, I should say, that we've seen be very effective with this are sites that we've helped them develop guidelines, and it's customization guidelines, not this is what you have to do, this is the program you have to buy. There are positive things that you can do, and there are things that are going to have a negative impact on your culture, but the guidelines need to be customized site by site, and or at least organization by organization.
Absolutely so. And you know, and some of the things that you're customizing, one approach is better than another, but every now and then, like the old multiple choice questions, the best answer is D, all of the above.
Until next time, remember, in safety, prevention trumps reaction. For more information on safety culture excellence, or if you have a topic to suggest, please email us at podcast@proactsafety.com.